It's your daily sports dump. And I'm your host, Joe Canelli. That's right, folks. It's me, your host, Joe Canelli. It's your daily sports dump. It's today, Wednesday, May 20, 2020. That's 5-20-2020. And that's right. That wasn't just my voice you heard there, folks. I'm joined, and I don't know why it took this long, overdue on my part. I've got Nooch here with me. Yeah, say hi.
Hey, everybody.
Whoa, there he is. All right. There's Nooch, and he is here. Not here, literally here. But he is here as far as on the line. And, of course, this is the week that we're talking about. The Last Dance.
Yes. And, what a thrill ride.
And you, of course, I'm trying to think of any specific connections you have. First off, Scott Burrell, UConn.
That's the biggest right one right there.
Right off the bat, I want to get into that. Scott Burrell being, you know, UConn. Did he win a title there?
He won. No, he didn't win at UConn, but he won with the Bulls. And I happened to... The one game I ever had my brother's media pass was Scott Burrell receiving his Bulls championship ring in 97.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Circle. Why did your brother have a media pass?
Because he wrote for the Daily Campus, and his senior year was the first year they ever won the championship, so he got to travel with the team and everything.
Unbelievable.
Yep. Journalism, fun major.
Excellent. I mean, I think your brother should look into buying this podcast.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That should be a whole podcast special, too, the presentation.
Absolutely. Well, we're thinking of starting a Twitch channel. Are you in?
Ooh, do we have to game, or we can just kind of go about our business?
I'm not sure. We may have to game. That's a great question. I didn't ask that, but boy, that's a great question. We may have to game. Are you prepared?
We go. Comical conversations during an elaborate European and Championship Leagues battles.
Do you have FIFA?
No, but we'll make it happen. We need to.
I don't either. Okay, so you watched all 10 episodes?
Yep.
Great. Oh, by the way,
start to finish?
Well, no, I want to interrupt for a second because there is something topical. Did you know there was a NASCAR race today?
Go on.
That's it. Did you know? I'm just saying sports are coming back slowly.
With an audience and everything?
No crowd. No crowd. But it was, you know.
Okay, I can get behind that.
I think they're catching up on races that were, you know, not broadcast. So,
got it.
So I think that's what's happening.
It looks like there's a good chance we're going to see a lot of no-crowd sports performances kind of neutralizing the home field advantage, which I think will be exciting for parity.
Possibly. I like that people are still talking about any fans going to games. I don't think you should do that at all.
No, it's not worth it.
It's not.
You kill off everybody's grandparents so that you could have the satisfaction of seeing a home run live.
And even if it's like, only 20,000 people can come, like, that's so dumb.
No.
It's not worth it. All right. Moving on. Yes. No, we don't have to take it as every episode at a time, but what were your thoughts in general about the whole thing? Because it's the...
I'll give you...
It's the media sensation of the month. Of the pandemic, maybe, so far.
Well, yeah. No, I think I'm glad it came because it was maybe more significant than the pandemic. There was like something a few weeks before it came out that said Michael Jordan was worried everyone's going to think he's an asshole or he's a jerk. Now,
yes.
I've never loved a guy more.
Well, that was also PR getting out ahead of it.
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Without question, and successful, because I was more intrigued than ever.
Absolutely, and so it's got you, you know, and we all kind of know the punching Steve Kerr story by now.
Yeah.
And it did give some insight into other guys, but I mean, it wasn't, you know, it was Jordan's film.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
So, you know, like you probably feel like at the end there, he was basically threatening to beat up Scott Burrell. He said if he ever saw him again, he would start a bar fight.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think that's
he must have hated him.
Yeah, I think it was therapeutic and necessary for Jordan to have someone of a unique disposition where he could just sort of unload and get his toxicity out in his
role, but I'm not as nice as Burrell. I'll let you make fun of me. Well. Jordan would have fought me.
He wouldn't have fought you. He would have beat you up for sure. Let's be real.
Did you hear Chief's story? Chief wasn't in it. The chief was there for the last year. You know, Big Chief, Robert Parrish. Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
And I guess he was there for the last season. And he said, Jordan, you know, was trying some of his shit.
Yeah.
And he, you know, Big Chief was kind of laughing because he messed up a play and Jordan was going after him like crazy. And I guess Parrish went up to Jordan, according to him, and he said, listen, I'm not as enamored with you as these other guys. I already got rings from Boston. And he said that Jordan, you know, said he was going to fight Parrish, and Parrish said he took a step forward and said, no, you're not. And that was it.
And that's all Jordan wanted. It was like a heat check for people locked in or not.
Because at that point, you know, Parrish was actually older than Jordan, I think.
For sure.
Right? And so, definitely. Maybe a couple years. But he definitely still had, you know, 6 inches on Jordan and probably 50 pounds.
Oh, yeah. And he was a man. There's some guys that are like, boy athletes, coddled, whatever.
Oh,
Chief
yeah.
is a man. You don't mess with Robert Parrish.
I mean, Robert Parrish, it seems like he needed to smoke massive amounts of weed just to keep, you know. That's why they called him Big Chief, I think.
Yeah. And he did, but I think he also balanced it out. Didn't he have some sort of cocaine connection?
Well, I mean, in the 80s, in the 70s especially, I think Parrish came in late 70s, maybe early 80s. He was a little older, I think, than Magic and Bird. He's always looked 60. He's got that Greg Oden kind of thing.
Well, he was like the Satchel Paige of basketball because he played and played.
He did.
He played till he was like 46 or something.
He did.
45.
He did. Satchel Paige. He is, you know, there's a few, there's obviously hundreds of Negro League players you would have liked to have seen. But in terms of the personality, like he played in a World Series when he was like 50. And he threw a shutout or something. He was maybe 48 or whatever. And he has ridiculous stats a couple of his major league years where he was in his, and who knows how old he was. You know, it could have been 60. Anyway, back to
that's impressive.
Any other?
That's what I'd like.
What? Go ahead.
No. I lost my train of thought. Go ahead.
That's what was impressive.
Well, no, I'd like to see kind of someone go back through like old-timey sports but apply modern-day analytics.
Sure.
Just so young people could understand what was going on and how good these guys were.
Yeah, yes, right. It's impossible because many of their games there's not even record of. You know, he has seasons where it's like, or Josh Gibson, where they got like 35 games that he played in a year.
And these guys literally did no fitness regimens. It wasn't like there was like cutting edge protein, amino acids, and they were stretching and shit. These guys were drinking beers, crushing chickens, and
their life was exercise because it was, you know, barnstorming, and probably during the off season it was some kind of hard labor.
Yeah.
So
and lots of drinking and.
Yes.
Amphetamine use.
Unlike Michael Jordan and the Bulls. Now, how do you think everybody came off did you feel like anyone their reputation improved or took a hit or no change at all?
Maybe because I'm sort of an NBA guy over the years, I wasn't really surprised by too much as far as
you're in the weeds.
Isaiah
you know
being
all
a
of it.
Dude.
Yeah.
And this is stuff I, you know, kind of know just through immersion.
Right.
But But hearing, just being able to hear Jordan talk about stuff,
true,
you know, and have a glass of scotch and be in a comfortable position was priceless. That's like what you dream of, you know.
Exactly. That is true. I will say that. Now, Jordan, you know, again, he's so unapologetic. There were a couple points in the thing. I Molly and I did an episode yesterday, and I brought this up, that there's one point where one of the guys is going, you know, Michael wasn't the greatest because of his ability to get to the basket or to shoot a jump. I'm like, well, that had a lot to do with it. You know, like, you know, even in watching some of those highlights of that last whatever 40 something seconds against Utah, where that drive that he makes, he does it in like no effort, not the jumper, but the layup before.
Layup off the glass in traffic.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like he just decided, okay, here I go. There weren't any picks or anything. He was just like, I'm going to just drive to the basket and score a layup, no matter how many people come after me. So that little sequence there has it all. It's got his going to the basket, and then is also his that killer jumper.
And his passion and ability to like just sort of playfully challenge himself and make everyone else look like they're on a different field. Yeah, he's just so good.
Now, do you think somebody puts out a real Jordan story documentary at some point, the unauthorized?
Of course, there's too many opportunists and
I mean
everything else.
I feel like
the dark underbelly, the gambling, the death,
although you know, I think this thing put to rest that stuff, at least it made sense the way it went with, you know, maybe not. I know you're more apt to believe in the conspiracies, but in this instance, you know, a black man in South Carolina, there need not be any conspiracy, unfortunately, other than those circumstances.
Yeah, no. So, it will never, it's not, even if there was some fishy going on, it's so well guarded that it's not for us to know. And I'm quite frankly.
No, and you wouldn't get it in this.
Enough. If like, we know what it was, if it was nefarious, you know.
Yes. And I think
no
by now. And ultimately Stern's gone and that's it. So, but I don't suspect really anything.
Gosh, but, who would have, a year ago, if I told you that David Stern, Kobe Bryant, and Fred Willard would all be dead, you'd call me crazy. And look at the world we find ourselves in.
Oh, that trio meant so much to sports. Willard is the one that ultimately is going to hurt me the most, in that he still had entertainment. I didn't realize how much he had done on Jimmy Kimmel. I just happened to stumble into the episode a couple nights ago where he did kind of a memoriam for...
Yeah, for himself.
No, for Willard. For Fred Willard.
Yeah. That was...
Oh, yeah, it was
Fred
all...
Fred Willard holding the cue cards, yeah.
Oh, yes. There was a ton of good stuff for that. In that episode. I don't know if you're talking... You were just talking about one bit,
right? Are you talking about the actual one or the bit?
No,
didn't see the actual one.
No, Jimmy Kimmel... Willard did a ton of bits there.
Yes.
So, he did an episode devoted to him right after he passed away.
Oh, nice.
And you're right. Kobe Bryant, Willard, and Stern. You wouldn't expect it. Always in threes, though.
Tough.
NBA legends. Yeah. Now, Willard was a big sports fan. Because if you watch, I watched it the other night, we watched Best in Show, and when he's improvising, and I watched a few of the things he's improvising, he uses a lot of sports metaphors. Now that now that character was, you know, a play-by-play guy, and maybe that was part of it, but he was following along with it all the way, you know, you could tell the way he was talking that he really is a big, he knew a lot about sports, I think he was a big fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, so now it comes and goes, this Jordan thing, and I guess Pippen's mad a little bit.
What did you think of Pippen overall, how he came across?
I actually think Pippen gets a little bit more, especially the no-tipping Pippen thing. He gets when you understand that he has, like, 10 brothers and sisters who need constant care, a couple of them, Like, oh, okay.
The guy was pinching pennies for a reason, yeah.
I guess so. He should have just, you know, people shouldn't have been charging him. And I don't know if he got gratis and he didn't tip anyway, and then people started charging him or whatever. But anyway, point being,
yeah.
I think
with that stuff, go ahead.
He gained a little bit to me of sympathy, although his big game migraine, back injury, shot not taking, like, there's just a few things in there. And I don't know what all of that points to. That's got to be something, you know, perhaps in his psyche, in his background. But that,
yeah, who knows what his childhood was like.
Yes. And but
authority figures told him.
Right, right. But he pulled through with the, you know, that last game. And you could tell he was legit hurt.
Yes.
So I think Pippen, you know, it's unfortunate because he was... Would he have been, you know, Tracy McGrady or LeBron James? I think those are the kind of the two extremes where he may have ended up on his own.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, if he had ended up on another team, well, you know, the other thing too people tend to forget is that defenses have to focus so much on Michael Jordan.
Absolutely.
You have automatically an elevated sense of production because you're not having the other team's best defender on you.
Absolutely.
So.
And Pippen was a, you know, is going to be superior to 95% of the guys he's playing against, especially given that Jordan is drawing the best defensive player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No team has two guys to cover like that.
I think it's one of those occasions where if you don't even need to look at the stats, just watch the guy play. And you know the context in which he's playing, you know, next to the greatest player of all
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, this guy's a hell of a player.
Absolutely. And an incredible athlete.
He would have, yeah.
Well, and when you hear that he grew, you know, like 9 inches in a year or something ridiculous, it explains why he's such a good ball handler, rather. And
Anthony
really,
Davis syndrome.
Except for the 3-point shooting, which is amazing that it took that long to be figured out statistically.
Yeah.
Patino was a little bit ahead of it, but with Pippen and Jordan, point guards were nothing on that team.
No, absolutely.
And they had the kind of positionless wing guys that every team needs two or three of now.
Yep.
And in that way, they were well ahead. And then, you know, he has Ron Harper as well. So at times you've got, and Kukoc even is a semi-positionless guy.
Yes.
6'11 ball handler. But that, you know, that's what goes, and same thing with those Knicks teams that of DeBuscher that Phil Jackson played on. Those players were all multifaceted. They, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Walt Frazier, he had like 19 assists and like 8 rebounds in the championship game against the Lakers, the game 7 with Willis Reed. But all those guys could shoot, pass, and were very, you know, you needed guys like that.
Yes.
And
it's very interesting.
Well, the game kind of goes like that now, except just faster. Guys just shoot at the first open opportunity now, for the most part.
Yeah.
But they still are passing around in triangles and whatnot, but they're setting more screens a little bit and then dishing it out.
I think it also redefines, because for years, everybody would criticize guys for being versatile and call them tweeners and say,
right,
oh, he's not really this or that.
Right.
And now that's, you have to be, you know, air quotes, tweener.
Yes.
To even have a shot in this day and age, because everybody's like a point guard, center, 3-4, 5-4, 5-6-4, can do every, you know.
Yep.
And the Bulls, just through the triangle and the philosophy, kind of probably won't get the credit for it, but gave birth to
Well,
that.
Tex Winter, you know, he is recognized as, you know, a innovator in the game.
Yes.
And was kept Absolutely. Around by Phil Jackson for all that stuff. You know, you could see Jordan,
Phil, by the way,
Jordan didn't like a little because it diminished his stats, but go ahead with Phil. What were you saying?
Yeah, I would say I already loved Phil a great deal, and he just confirmed and bumped himself up in my book.
Yeah, I'd love to hang out with Phil Jackson for a few days, actually, I think.
And Phil, if you're listening, let's do it.
I'll reach out. I don't know how you would get in contact with Phil, and he probably wouldn't have too much interest, yeah. But, you know, we're a couple of...
He would tell you to settle down within 10 minutes of knowing you. Joe, let's just hang out. And you go, I'm sorry, Phil. Let me just, let me get you a spritzer.
I think he and I might, we probably would, maybe we'd get high or something. I don't know.
Yes. And that's okay. Some people do that.
Totally. Some people do. I'm just saying, he probably does that and I'd want to fit in. So I'd do that.
Yes.
Were there any other UConn? Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I heard UConn. I'm frozen.
I'll get back to that. I have it written down. I don't want to lose your point. You love what?
No, just on Phil Jackson. I loved when the media was like, hey, is Dennis, you think Dennis being going doing the wrestling is a distraction from the playoffs? And he was like, for you guys, it is.
He knew. It's like
so awesome.
Everybody knew. We got 2-3 games left. What the hell am I going to do? Dennis knew it wasn't like he was going to sit him.
Yep.
And Phil knew, who gives a shit? He didn't have to do anything with him anymore after that.
Yep. Phil Jackson, George Karl, Popovich, maybe two others are those type of coaches that can deal with people without the machismo. You know what I mean? That are thoughtful.
Who do you think they are? What's your list?
George Karl, Popovich, Phil Jackson.
I don't know how Popovich.
There may be a fourth out there that I'm forgetting.
Pat Riley.
Oh, yeah, Riley. Yeah, but Riley was also the opposite, where, wouldn't want to sneeze funny around him.
Yeah, but again, Riley himself said that if I think they asked him, if Dwayne Wade punched him in the face before Game 7, would he play Dwayne Wade? And he was like, yeah, of course I would.
Of course.
And those Lakers teams had a lot of...
underwater to get a team fired up.
Who did he do?
He put his own head in a bucket of water for several seconds.
Yes. But those Lakers teams had a lot of ego. Magic, Kareem. Yeah. That was a lot of, handling dudes. So, it does take a special type of guy, especially with today's athletes. All right, the thing I wanted to ask, were there any other UConn appearances in that? And lastly, I want to ask you about Jerry Krause, but UConn guys or people who popped in?
I'm glad you asked. I was about to say no, but the iconic shrug when Jordan was hitting the threes, you always see Cliff Robinson in that frame.
That's
right. Great UConn Husky, great ambassador for marijuana over the years, and just a general great guy.
Doesn't he have his own brand?
First big Husky star, yeah.
Cliff Spliffs?
Yep, he's got his own thing.
Something like that.
Cliffy.
We're talking an awful lot about that today. That's okay. I wonder if Jordan puffs the weed.
Well, if his eyes were telling me the story, I'd say yes.
Yeah,
early,
but he could have been drinking too.
Yeah,
some people get like that
liver,
when they're drinking.
Yeah.
Tobacco
stains. He could be the unique case where he smokes so many cigars.
True.
The soft tissue in his eyes is slightly yellow.
Well, that was a highlight too, where the guy was like, I'm going to smoke cigars. It's your job to make me play basketball good while I'm smoking cigars.
Oh, that's amazing.
Amazing.
What a team.
So what did you think of Jerry Krause? Did he get the short shrift in this?
Let's say this. It's such a hard, because we're in the age of media. If Jerry Krause was on the radio,
mm-hmm.
instead of this visibly to some old school people off-putting looking guy and attitude, you'd just be like, he's kind of a dick. But I think the total package of the shortness, the bulging eye, the appearance,
everything. He's like the Penguin.
Yeah, I think that really added to the disdain. And quite frankly, to be the GM, or it's a tough position to be in, obviously.
It is, and when you're going up against Michael Jordan. But you look at, he hires Phil Jackson. He brings Phil Jackson in. He hires Phil Jackson. He trades for Scottie Pippen. He drafts Horace Grant. He drafts, I think he drafted Horace Grant. I'm pretty sure he did. He drafts Tony Kukoc. He drafts Steve Kerr. All those other guys, you know, ultimately, yeah. Like, when I think of those big men, like Cartwright helped them get past the Knicks.
Sure, yeah.
Because he could beat Ewing, and he was on that first three-peat. But yeah. But Cartwright, you know, he was about the best of the big men, of the centers at least. I guess yeah. Bison Dealey was good. Rest in peace.
Yeah, but none of them were asked to do a lot. So
no, that's
like
true. And I guess with
showcased.
Yes, and with you know, salary cap, or I don't know if there was one, but you got to get some scrubs at some positions. And that's yep. true. Those guys were just asked to, because Jordan and Pippen also rebounded a lot. You know,
yeah.
they dominated all the statistics of those teams.
Yep.
Those
they
other
were
guys
smart,
were just
they
filling
were
space.
Big.
Yes. Yes.
Always 7 foot at least, the guys.
That's
six,
true.
11, so
that's
low.
True. He did have a plan, and in that way, you know, he was, I don't know if he's the greatest general manager of all time. Red Auerbach could make a case for that.
Yeah.
Over the consistency and the way he got Larry Bird and everything. But yeah, I thought he, obviously a lot of people thought he did, but I mean, there wasn't really any, except that little thing by Pippen, acknowledgement by anyone about how great a job he had done. I don't know
right,
if he's in the Hall of Fame or not, but.
Well, he also didn't do himself any favors
no.
by publicly being like,
yes.
it's the greatest organization in the world,
yes.
this organization made this happen. Like,
yes.
he felt that same way you were, like when you're talking, it's like, well, yeah, I did this. This is a lot of it.
Yep.
is because of me. He's probably already got a chip on his shoulder because of how people treat him and how society views him and everything.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Yep.
It was a perfect storm for him never to get.
It really was.
Due respect.
It
yeah.
really, it really was. He seems like the. I don't know who can say what he thought of all of it. All
yeah.
right.
But just think of this: if he was like a charming old man, Harry Carey, the Tommy Lasorda type.
Oh yes. You're
he
right.
Was endearing.
You're
people
right.
Would have forgiven his appearance.
Absolutely.
All that shit.
Absolutely.
If he was gentle
and
humble,
quite frankly, if he was really good looking, they would have forgiven some of it too, unfortunately, from
100%, yeah.
society. Well, I want to ask yeah. you one last thing. So, Jordan's daughter spoke a little bit. And do you know anything about Jordan's daughter? Has she played basketball at all? I don't
I
know to
have
assume
no
that.
No idea.
Okay,
no
well,
idea.
Then never mind. Never mind. I'll have to do a little bit of research.
Yeah.
About it, I know his one of his kids played at Illinois, one of his
yeah,
sons,
Mark.
Jeffrey. Oh, one
or
of
Jeffrey,
them.
Jeffrey, yeah.
Either
one
way.
Of them.
But I mean, how hard is that? How hard would it be to play basketball as his kid?
Not hard, yeah.
yeah, like LeBron's kid right now. That's the only person that LeBron has to practice against right now. So.
Ready.
Yeah, so we talked about this before, didn't we? By the end of this, Bronny's either going to be the best high school player in the country or he's going to be broken.
Yeah, he may never want to play again.
I actually think, you know, Jordan would break him. I think LeBron's kid might have a chance, you
yeah.
know, because LeBron might be the right kind of dad for that. But time will tell. And, of course, we'll see
yeah.
LeBron's documentary any day now, I'm sure, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jordan agreed to this. Jordan agreed to this the day the Cavs won the championship. He agreed
wow.
to. He signed off on. He signed off on the footage.
God, that's so Jordan.
Yes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
It's like you. He's like you and me.
Yeah. Without people often confuse us for LeBron and Jordan.
Yes.
Spiritually, philosophically.
So many ways. So many
yeah.
ways. All right. Well, we're going to try to do some type of, I don't know if it'll be a visual thing, but look into Twitch. Okay.
Twitch. Looking into it.
Familiarize yourself because you
yeah.
might be a Twitch star, you know.
I think it's a young man's game, but I'm open to anything.
What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting I'll look into it, like we said.
Yeah, all right,
it's
going
to be a hit success.
And you have to. I got to talk to you later too about more. Your umpire needs to make some reappearances.
Yeah,
like
no, no, no.
Prepping.
My bit is never doing any ever again.
Why? They're great.
It's a joke. Cause
I know.
It's elaborate. We'll talk about it.
All right. Great. We will. Well, good talking to you, and we'll talk again soon. I do want to do a Zoom Mr. Johnson sports rap at some point.
That would be fun.
Maybe without Matt because he's not sports, but maybe with Back It All instead. Yeah. We bring him in.
Maybe we'll do like a simulated owner's meeting from all the major sports.
Oh.
Dealing with, you know,
Nooch, write that down. That's quality.
Thank you.
You did write it down right here on this recording.
No, of course not.
Listen back to it. Listen back to this episode and we'll remember it.
Yeah, well, how can we forget?
All right. Well, be safe. You haven't gotten the COVID, have you?
I don't think so.
Good. All right.
Yeah.
You wearing a mask?
Or I've got it like 18 times, just very mildly. You know, some people are sick for 6 weeks and coughing away. Some people don't even realize they have it.
You've had a extremely low-grade version of it for 9 weeks.
Yeah.
That's good. Spread it out.
Yeah.
All right.
Keep it safe. Always with a mask. I've got so many masks.
I'm sure.
My mom sends me different decorated
ones. Oh, I bet. I bet. Plus, you have that Jim Carrey, the mask replica that you wear around sometimes.
I love that one. But then when I wear that one, people get mad I'm not wearing a mask.
Yes.
Look at that green face guy. Yeah.
You're like, I am the mask. Yeah. Okay. All right.
3303. Bye.
Bye. All right. Well, I guess that was it for Dan. He just hung up on us, and that's a good way to go out. So this is your daily sports dump, and we've got some good guests coming up lined up. I got my ass in gear, and it took really very little effort. So thankfully, but vast improvements just from a very little bit of effort. So those will be coming in the next few days. We'll be talking about this more and other documentaries that may be coming up soon. Okay. You can follow us on Twitter at Sports Dump Show. Do that and do all the other good stuff that you're already doing. Bye.